Hello, my people. This is King Shane Williams, and you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D, because I'm the king and you're not.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D. You know who I am, and my man Jimmy across the street. Skirt.
What up? What up? What up?
Oh, just building zombies again. What are you doing? Yeah.
Building zombies, dude.
Oh, yeah. I got a zombie coming out.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Son of a bitch is, he's scary.
That's awesome.
I'm ready to get him outside because I don't even want him in the house.
Yeah. It's like you turn the corner and you're, oh, my God. Dear God. That's cool, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait to see it.
Cool. What's going on with you, man?
Not much, brother. Just, you know, busier than everything. So first, my wife and I, we went up to see my nephew for his birthday in, like, Northern Virginia. Then I drive out to see my son in Nashville. I was like 7 days straight in a hotel room, and it was getting old. Okay. Yeah. And so then my wife the other night starts feeling bad. She's like, she can't even eat anything. She eats a cracker, can't keep it down. So she's like, I want to go to urgent care. And I'm like, babe, if it's something serious, we just need to go to the ER, because they're going to just say, hey, you got to go to the ER.
Yeah, exactly.
That delays everything. So we go straight to the ER, and they're like, and she's in such pain, so they give her a little something for the pain. Doesn't really help. They do an ultrasound on her, find out she's got her gallbladder is gone, and it's not doing good. So they rush her to the hospital. Well, I say rush, but they say you got to be there at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah, I know, dude. This is a lifelong story.
The way you said rush, I say rush.
Yeah. Well, they rush us to the hospital. It was like, you got to be here at 6, leave it for surgery at 6:30. We get to the hospital and we're there 6:30. We're thinking she's about to go under the knife. They're like, oh, we've got you set up for 1 o'clock. And we're like, what? And I mean, again, we needed to be at the hospital anyway, but still 6:30 to 1 p.m. That's a long time. Guess when she officially went back? 3 o'clock. Yeah. So anyway, that's my life. I'm sick of traveling. I just want to be at home.
Well, I'm sure the listeners, just as I am, are giving their well wishes to your girl, Michelle.
Thank you. Yeah, not your Michelle. Well wishes to your Michelle, as always. But anyway, yeah. So long story short, my life's been crazy busy. And guess what? I've been able to edit and put out like 3 podcasts during that time. So,
you use your time wisely.
I try, bro. I really do. I try.
Man, hey, let's talk about our guest, man.
Okay. I love it. The king.
Yeah, I mean, not the king, and he knows that I feel that way, but
right, the king of knocking.
But yeah, I love Shane, and he's cool. I can't wait to get, I ain't talked to him in a long time, man, and I'd like to get him on here, man. We need to hang up and call him and get him on, man.
Okay, so enough of my crap. Let's get the guest on. I get it. All right. We'll be right back with the King of Knoxville after these messages.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we're back. And as promised, Jimmy, why do we always try to do this thing where like we milk who's coming on. Like we're talking like, oh, is it? We've already told them. They know who's coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a thing. It's just, it's just a thing. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's like, yeah, exactly. They all know who it is. I mean, it's
I'm just gonna stop doing it. I got to.
Okay.
It's hilarious, man. But let me tell you something. Our next guest, for real, man, like, you know, there's guys that I've worked with and whatever, but he's a friend, man. I consider him a friend, man. I like this guy. And he's also probably I guarantee he speeds. And you know why I'm saying that?
Why's that?
Jimmy, God, can you, I mean, where are you? You with me?
I'm here, bro. I'm here, brother. Okay.
He's got a lead foot, man. I'm telling you, man. Like, you wouldn't think about this guy that, like, you wouldn't think, oh, man, he looks like a stiff guy to work with. I promise you. Shane, the King Williams, is a stiff guy to work with. He's got lead feet, man. It ain't necessarily his hands, I'm telling you. That's why I say he might speed, man, because his kicks and his stomps and shit. Oh, fuck, man. Come on, Shane. You trans, bro. Hey, man. Everybody, King St. Williams.
Hey.
What's up,
man? Not much. Man, I thought you told me to kick you harder. I thought that was what you told me.
Yeah, you never heard me say that to nobody.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to adjust to normal civilian having a shoot job life now besides wrestling all the time.
Man. So we're doing the personal training, right?
Yeah, I'm actually like running some gyms, doing some sales manager stuff, and then still doing training and all that jazz.
Man, that's cool, man.
I've been stuck in it forever.
Yeah.
All you guys, man, get out of the wrestling business and start personal training. We talked to so many guys, and, you know, yeah. I mean, it's a natural fit, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you, definitely the money is definitely a little bit easier.
Man, Jimmy, what do you want to ask Shane?
I just, you know, I mean, he's the King Shane Williams, right? So I got to ask this, man, like, talk about your trainer, man. Like, who trained you? Talk about your first match, that kind of stuff.
Dude, I'll tell you, I came up in a weird time in wrestling. Like, I came up like with the, like almost where the Attitude Era was like almost like at top, right? Yeah. And then I grew up in right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, in a small town called Maryville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I had no earthly idea how to get into professional wrestling. So I kind of took my poor girlfriend at the time, and I drug her around while I was in college, every small independent. Yeah, it sure did. I was like, if I'm going, like, you know, you want to go to this wrestling show instead of going on a really meaningful date, right?
Popcorn for dinner, you know, come on.
Yeah, you know, yeah, obviously that didn't last too long, you know. But anyway, I ended up getting broken in Maryville, Tennessee for a guy named Rerun. His name was Terry Wright, and he went by Rerun. But him and these guys kind of like had their...
I'm just kidding.
Nope. They end up having like a small, like little, like pool hall arcade. And then behind that building, they had another small building, and they raised the ceiling in that and put a wrestling ring in it.
Okay.
And then started training people, obviously. Not training people very good, but showing us exactly how to take bumps and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Luckily, now they opened the door for me, and I had my very first match in La Follette, Tennessee, maybe like a year after maybe training. And luckily I got really, man, it had to be 2002.
Okay. Because I was trying to think, man, when I first met you before we started talking.
I remember when I first met you. I remember it was at a Burt Prentice show.
Go ahead, man.
It was at a Burt Prentice show in Crossville, Tennessee. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Burt told me I was going to be working you. And I remember getting there and trying to, you know, chit chat with you and talk to you about. You know, the match and everything. And it was, It was really fun because, I'm still green and everything. And I remember you took me outside and gave me a beer before the match.
Nice. That is funny.
Yeah. Was it a good match?
It was a great match. What are you talking about, man? They're hanging out the rafters. What are you talking about?
Anytime I've ever worked you, it's been a very good match. Man, you remember that time you come over to my house and because I was working in Cahagas, I had the band there and all that stuff, and then we had you I had you in disguise in the audience that saw. And do you remember that, Jimmy?
I do.
Makeup on him and all that. Did anybody, I know we talked about this, but how much did people like look at you like, because they really didn't know, you know what I mean?
They didn't know me. Yeah, I know. That was a real makeup job right there. I had like a long hair. I had like a goatee, beard and everything.
Yeah.
I even went out and had margaritas before we did the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the funny part too, if you recall, I'm going to say his name, Tim Thomason, gave us the shittiest fucking table that we could ever give someone that needed a table to do a major finish in the ring. And so if you remember, the table would not stand up. Me and Hayes were working, the table would not stand up. So we had to lean in the corner. And the finish was you come in at the, you know, you take the disguise off or whatever and fucking pile drive me through a table, which was supposed to be standing up. And we're supposed to be up in the air. Boom! But no, Crawl, you son of a bitch. You gave us a shit table. And Shane was professional enough, Jimmy, seriously. Like he did the pile driver, but he knew where it was and kind of just like jumped back on it. No, was the impact what it should have been and what we wanted? No, but Shane was good enough to cover that. A lot of guys couldn't probably cover that.
That's awesome.
I got really lucky coming up in wrestling where, I didn't get the best training, but luckily I was in the right area to work with all the guys that were still doing it for a living and making money doing it. So I thinking in my head, I'm like, I need to get with these guys.
Yeah.
You know, I need to, luckily I got hooked up with Dr. Tom Pritchard and then Ricky Morton and then Tracy Smothers. Otherwise, man, I'd still have been in that small garage hitting the ropes and taking bumps. Wanting to know what a weakness was, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, man, so I know over time you've kind of gotten a little flack sometimes for doing the King thing because in this area, they all know Jerry Lawler, the King. Honestly, when I saw Harley Race, I was like, he's not the King, man. And then you got Mabel the King. You got everybody's been the King now. But because of this area, I think it gave you a little more flack than you deserved. But I want you to tell the story. If I recall correctly, you think Lawler ribbed you at WWF or E or whatever it was back then.
I don't know if he ribbed me there. I know one time he did rib me.
About the gimmick. The gimmick where they made you wear the gimmick or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he did anything at WWE to like rib me or anything. I know at one point they did tell me there, like, of course, I'm going there for a tryout. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now they're telling me, like, you know, all the things they already have. We already have the best wrestler. We already have a guy named the King here. You know, we already have this, right?
Right.
So I literally, I went to my bag and pulled out a dirty wife beater and some shorts, and I dressed up like a homeless person.
Yeah, I might have got a little confused, but yeah.
Yeah, and all, like, I remember Road Dogg and Billy Gunn coming up to me and catering going, what are you doing? Because I went and I grabbed me a little plate and put barbecue sauce on it, ketchup, mustard, right? Just so I could put some stains on my clothes.
Yeah.
You know? But I didn't care what I had to do. I was trying to get a job, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately they frown upon my accent there. So they did not like my Southern accent at all. They did not like that.
That was the deal. That's what they said to you. Like, hey, everything's cool, but your accent sucks, man. Is that kind of
literally? I went back and they told me I was going to be doing a promo and Paul Heyman picked his head in the room going, "Hey guys, you care if I sit in on this?" And he came in and turned his chair backwards and sat in it, staring straight at me, you know. And then you have the some executives there too. So I'm fucking like, "Oh my God, I'm freaking out."
Yeah.
So I started. They had me do like a little promo on Kofi Kingston, and I do my thing. And I remember Paul Heyman going, "You know who you remind me of? You remind me of like a hot stuff Eddie Gilbert." And I go, "That's awesome," because I was always growing up, I was always a hot stuff Eddie Gilbert fan, and he was always trying to do the King deal too. So I could relate to that, right? And I can kind of watch some of his matches and see how he kind of swerved that and did things with it, right?
That makes
so when
total
he said that
sense,
to me,
man.
When he said
I mean,
that to me,
really I honestly just put that together, man. Yes, I can see that, man. I can see you kind of being the Eddie Gilbert guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
So he was a little bit shorter compared to Lawler too as well. So so when I did that deal, I just remember as Paul Heyman going, "You know what? Do you remind me of the hot stuff Eddie Gilbert?" And he's like putting it over a little bit, but at the same time I'm going, "Well, that's a good thing and that's a bad thing." I was like, "Good thing." He said that to me. "Bad thing is Eddie Gilbert never worked here." Except like when he first started wrestling, you know?
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So I'm like, and then they took me aside and taught me about my accent and everything. If I'd be willing to try to lose the accent.
If you'd be willing.
Yes. They're like Fandango. He goes and takes dance lessons.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't think you can get rid of my accent. I think I'm stuck with it.
I mean, it's not a. I mean, dude, there's way worse in the. I mean, seriously, that's your southern
but
accent.
The wording of it, wording of it to me. Are you willing?
Like, yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Yeah, whatever. You want me to talk different? Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
I mean, are you willing? Are you ready to
come? Are you willing?
New accent.
Man. I mean, what did you say? What did you say to him? I mean,
I told him. Of course, I told him yes.
Yeah.
I'm willing. You know, I'm willing to
you
do
did
that.
Say,
what
did, yeah. What,
right. I reckon so, buddy.
I reckon so, sir. I'll get her done. Don't you worry there. And
Mr. Paul.
Never happened. I never could lose my Tennessee accent. So
well, you said Eddie Gilbert, and this kind of leads me into a question here. So obviously, you know, Eddie Gilbert, but dude, you had elements of Curt Hennig a little bit and what I saw with your bump style.
Oh yeah. He inspired me a lot with the bumps and stuff. Always, you know, all the guys when I was wrestling, it's kind of like how it is now. Like the guys were always so talking about the moves they wanted to do. Right. Yeah. And I figured out, the idea is I can do a flip and I can do that stuff, right? But I also want to make my match, you know, believable, kind of, right? I want to kind of get lost in it, right? Yeah. So if I'm going to do a flip, I want somebody to hit me and cause me to do a flip.
Right.
Because there's in a real fight, nobody is ever going to put somebody down on the mat, climb up to the ropes, and then do a flip and land on them.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the guy's dead.
Are you serious? I've seen it happen. World star.
I need to go watch it.
I'm kidding.
That's what I thought. I always would think about stuff like that. And of course, you know, I have Dr. Tom Pritchard in my head, and so he would always say, if you're going to lay me down on the mat, you better make me have to lay down there on the mat.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not. So it has to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you say like, who are your, I mean, so obviously Dr. Tom, you know, for sure, but who are like, who would you consider your influences to be?
Definitely. Dr. Tom was a super big influence. Tracy Smothers was.
Yeah.
Curt Hennig.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of anybody else. I really just got really big into watching older wrestling, which was weird because all the guys that were my age and wrestling watched the current product. But I was always just a big fan of wrestling in the 70s and the early 80s. I loved it. My great grandmother would always tell me stories about going to Chihaui Park and watching Ron Wright and stuff like that. And
King of Kingsport.
So them just coming to the ring, they would have to fight. They would start fighting fans getting to the ring.
Dude.
You know, and I'm like, yeah. that's what made me fall in love with wrestling, is making people believe.
Mm-hmm,
and then hanging out with all the guys, that was always fun, and the traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But then somehow in between that, the whole making people believe just got lost.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, I think with it being lost, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. There's no putting it back in. But I just love those days, the classic wrestling. You know, people jumping in the ring because their favorite wrestler's getting beat up. All that, that shit. Like, that's my favorite.
That's awesome. That's
absolutely cool, man. I couldn't agree more, man. That is just something that sucks about it now, man.
Wolfie, can I tell you a story real quick about you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember us doing that? What was that? That AWA deal in Nashville, right? Do you remember that night we stayed up late, right? And we sat there on the couch and we watched. We watched Bruiser Brody and somebody else do. I think it was Bruiser Brody against the Masked Superstar or something like that.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And it was amazing, yeah. Amazing. How many flips those guys do? None.
Zero.
How many punches they throw? A lot. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
But that's the thing, man. You miss the times where, and I know the internet, you know, it's the times. We can't really help that. But there's also, I feel like, yes, you're correct. I think there ain't no, it ain't coming back. But if we would have stopped, like, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago and quit being so overexposed, you know what I mean? You can still expose it, but then still kayfabe a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
The thing is, you know, I've talked about this. I've worked the paramedics. I've worked the boys. You know what I mean? As far as being hurt in the ring or something like that. Yeah. I mean, if you got to go to that level, but you just can't no more. You just can't. There's too much technology. No,
you got somebody who's going to freak out or something. Nowadays, people have actually called the cops. You know?
Yeah.
Or you have your opponent that might sue you for hitting them too hard.
Dude. That's probably true.
Oh my
God. I think my boy, didn't Bruce Santee, he's one of my friends down in Florida, man. He punched some guy. It was hot on the internet. I think this was like 10 years ago. Bruce Santee, look it up. He punched this dude, and the guy ran out of the building on to sue him, I think. Yeah,
oh, my crazy. God.
But, like, how do you get in the ring and, somebody gets stiff with you, but he shoot punched him, but still, you know, come on. We're out there.
We're out there, man.
Growing up in Knoxville, obviously you had Continental area there and the Fullers, obviously. And of course you had, you know, Smoky Mountain as well. That, you know, we talk to Dirty White Boy. Wolfie talks to Dirty White Boy basically every day. You know what I'm saying? and being from that area, the wrestling there, like you brought up Ron Wright, I grew up in Southwest Virginia, just really close to Bristol.
Okay.
So you know the area I'm from. Yeah, and so we believed in all that stuff, dude. And I mean, you know, Dirty White Boy is the villain of my childhood, in effect. You know what I mean? And so were the Heavenly Bodies. And but like I said, you brought up Ron Wright there. Talk about some of your experience, especially, you know, some of the guys you grew up watching and then getting to actually meet and work with.
Well, I tell you that my dad, often my dad would take off and he was a truck driver and he was a singer. Right. So often I would be left with my great grandmother. Right. And my great grandmother, she lived to be 102 years old and she lost her left arm to cancer back in like the 70s.
Dude.
So in the 70s, they just cut your shit off.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Right. So
grandfather had that.
Okay.
His leg off. Yes. This is
literally
funny. I mean, not funny. No.
Crazy though. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they literally, she told me when she was babysitting me that I could watch wherever I wanted to on TV, but when wrestling came on, the TV was hers.
Nice. Right?
Mm-hmm. This lady was older. She had her hair looks like almost kind of like a Q-tip. It was completely snow white, right?
Yeah.
And round.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was so, my grandmother, great grandmother, she'd speak with us like a really soft voice. Shane, you need to come over here and do this. But when she, when Ric Flair or Jim Cornette came on TV, motherfucker came out of her mouth, and I never even heard that.
Oh my God. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, and then from that point, that's the only time I ever heard it from her. I was like, oh my God, she cusses. Oh my God. And she'd be throwing stuff at the TV, right?
Yes, yes.
She told me about going to Howie Park, and her and my, I never got to meet my great-grandfather. He had passed away by the time I was born. But they would go to Chihaui Park and watch wrestling. And one night, Ron and Don Wright were coming to the ring, and they were throwing popcorn at him. And ended up, like, Ron Wright got into a tussle with my great-grandfather.
Wow. Right?
And then my great-grandfather ends up getting kicked out of the building for fighting with the wrestlers.
Yes. You know? I love those stories. Yeah.
That was my introduction to wrestling right there. That's what wrestling is supposed to be like.
It's a blue cyclone. You ever heard that?
Yes. Yeah. You're talking about the Ray Stevens song?
Yes. That's what that reminded me of. The kids, that, you know, the old people getting in the ring back in the day.
Song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah.
Same grandpa was the Blue Cyclone.
they end up, my dad ends up taking us, because obviously he's watching me watch wrestling. And of course, by then I started getting the toys and everything like that. But he ends up taking me to my very first wrestling show. And it's a Smoky Mountain Wrestling show at the Civic Coliseum.
Yeah.
I get to go there. And I see Dirty White Boy. I remember telling my dad, I want one of those masks that Bullet Bob was wearing, you know?
Yes, and I loved it.
And he got me a Bullet Bob mask. I got to meet Tracy Smothers, and, you know, and then years later when I get into wrestling, I'm at a flea market, and I'm trying to learn. So I've already talked to Dr. Tom a little bit. And of course he's telling me I don't know shit and I need to be retrained and all that stuff. And so we need to get in the ring with him more often. So I'm trying to do that. And then at the same time, I remember I walk into this, into the building that night, and there is a tall guy with crazy curly hair and with glasses on. And, when he turns around, it was Tracy Smothers. And I'm like, oh God. And I've already heard Chase, Stevens had already told me stories about, Tracy beating him up his very first match.
Right? Yeah. Thought he was a chick. You remember that? You know that story, right? He was like, why am I working a girl? You know? He's like, you're not working a girl. I'm Tracy Smothers.
Oh, shit. They trained me 3 days, I think it was. I think it was 3 days. And it was either 2 or 3 days. It definitely wasn't more than three. Yeah. And that third day, it was like, hey, we had somebody no show. We need you on the show. This and that. So I'm like, man, I ain't got no gear or anything. They're like, oh, we'll come up with some gear for you. Don't worry about that. And so I get downstairs and they named me Glacius. So my name is Glacius on the card. And I'm wrestling Julio? This chick. Huh?
Julio?
I swear. Yeah, Julio Glacius. And I'm wrestling this chick named Tracy Smothers. Oh. And her name's circled. And man, her I'm so name. Fucking mad, dude. Her name's circled. I'm so mad, dude. I come back in that little stall that they had me chasing in, and my buddy's down there with me, the one that got me signed up for it all. And he's like, well, what's wrong with you? I was like, man, I think they're trying to get me to quit. I was like, they got me wrestling a chick. And he's like, what? So he goes out there and looks at the card, and he comes to the back, and he's like, he's got a shit-eating grin on his face. He's like, dude, just shut the fuck up and sit down. And I was like, man, he's got an attitude. I don't even know if I'm going to ride with him next week. Like, talking to me like that. So when Smothers come in like a little bit later, man, I don't know. Somebody smarted him up, man. I think I'm pretty sure he never told me, but man, he comes over and grabs my hand. He's got that hard hand squeeze. And I was like a little kid at the time. You know, I'm only like 180 pounds. Yeah. He's got this hand squeeze on me. And he's like, Tracy Smothers. He's like, I'm sitting down. He's like standing up, like staring over me. He just keeps staring at me as he's shaking my hand. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm from a little town, man. Everybody named their, every girl is named Tracy. There was no men that they named Tracy. You know, so I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
At least I didn't say that, but right. he did tell me some spots to remember. And by the time I got to the ring and my nerves hit me, oh my God, I can't remember the spots. Right. Yeah. So he is cuffing me right in the ring and he's, hit me at one point. I remember he throws me outside the ring and throws me into these like wooden stairs to get into the ring and the stairs stab me. So I'm like bleep through my tights with these stairs have stabbed me. Right. And then, of course, I remember him going, cut me off and climb up to the top rope and give me a cross body, little shit or something like that. I don't know. But, that was it. And of course, I get back to the back and I get reamed by him. And he's asking me who trained me, yada, yada, yada. And again, like my training was like, I gave this guy $200 and he told me to get in the ring. He's going to show me some things. And the only thing he really showed me how to do is hit the ropes and take some bumps. He couldn't show me like how to actually work holds or do any psychology or anything like that because he didn't even know that, you know?
Yeah, that's on the job training.
Yes,
you got it. But that was the best, though. I think, you know, the on the job training right there, and you got to learn, and then the guys would tell you why you needed to do that and stuff, and then you would take that to another town and try it by yourself, and it'd get over, and everybody would look at you like, "How the fuck do you know how to do that?"
That's amazing, dude. So the first time I think I ever met you, Shane, was working for Burt Prentice. I actually in Nashville. So I'd worked some in Virginia and worked some in North Carolina, but officially when I started working in Tennessee and Nashville area, I was working with Mike Porter. And obviously at that time, Mike Porter, crap pay, you know, no pay, whatever, but he was kind of in a weird partnership with Burt. And you can make jokes all you want on that. But anyway, long story short, I started working for Burt, and that's when I started seeing for Burt, the more professional guys, you know, the Chases, the Chris Michaels, the King Shane Williams, these types of guys. When you start to see the guys that have kind of got their shit together, you know, and that's when I first met you. Then obviously we started working together more at Saw. I remember you and I talking about old Kingsport wrestling and stuff like that in Saw. But tell us a little bit about your experiences with Burt Prentice.
You know, I know a lot of people, some people have like, you know, bad things to say about Burt, but I know he definitely, you know, my very first time meeting him, he definitely hit on me, but
yeah, I figured
after I turned him down and all that stuff, he really taught me a lot about wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, his being able to, you what now?
I said he was a hustler, man. He was a hustler.
Yeah, exactly. I would go put flyers out with Burt, go put posters up. I'd go one time, you know, he was the first promoter that actually I could see would try to promote his talent, right? That try to make him like bigger than what they were. So one day he's like, and I'm sure you guys remember Gordon. You remember Gordon, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So one day he's like
Dunaway, Gordon Dunaway, Mr. Advanced Financial. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So he goes, you and Gordon are going to go down to the Piggly Wiggly and do some advertising for me. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, we're going to set you up a table and you're going to sign some autographs and we'll give away some tickets. And I'm like, okay. So literally here I am with, he goes, take your pictures with you. Take my eight by tens that I had. And I meet Gordon at the Piggly Wiggly where he has a security t-shirt on. Right. And then I'm going to be sitting on this folding table signing autographs after people check out with their groceries. I end up having to sign. I'm signing pictures, talking to people, trying to help them, you know, get them to the wrestling show that night, and it worked.
That's
awesome. Literally, I never knew that a trick like that would work.
That's a Jimmy Valiant gimmick right there. That's a Jimmy Boogie Woogie man. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I had no idea about this stuff. Yeah. You know, and of course, half the time I'm thinking that Burt's trying to, you know, make me look stupid or something like that. But, you know, nobody knew who I was, you know, nobody probably even knew about the wrestling show going on. But I think the longer that I would stay work with Burt, the more I would learn about the business side of wrestling where, you know, Burt made a living off of wrestling,
Yeah.
Right. And just working and hustling.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. He didn't, I mean, he might've did some like, some country music stuff here and there or whatnot, but majority of it was all wrestling and, you know,
yeah.
And he'd always call and sometimes he'd call and check on me, make sure, you know, my head's in the right place, because sometimes when I wasn't wrestling, I'd get depressed thinking that I wasn't, you know, working hard enough or I'd never going to get to where I wanted to get to and stuff. So I'm really thankful for him being able to teach me all that stuff. Yeah. Otherwise, hell, yeah. I would have made a dollar. I mean, I didn't know how to make money wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, Bert does get a little bit of slack here and there. And for me, it's all in fun, man, because he was the same way with me as far as just, man, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? I don't care.
now he did bust my... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, though. Like, I'm not mad at him. I never was, you know? It's like, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
He was, he did bust my balls the very first time I got a pair of King tights made.
Oh, I bet. Yeah,
he bust my balls. And he gave me shit. Oh my God. He's like, are those crowns on the side of your tights? Right. Like, in my head, I was such a, you know, I knew that if I got to work with Lawler, right, I was going to make more money.
Right.
And then all my peers would see me working with Lawler and that would actually help me. Right. And then, and so that's what I try to work towards. And of course, heaven forbid I get into ring with Lawler and learn something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. That's amazing. Yeah. Obviously, what did Lawler think of your gimmick? Did he ever
I'll tell you. Yeah. Well, he would never like, he would kind of like, laugh a little bit. Right? I remember one time I'm actually sitting here at my, place right now and I'm looking at this crown. I remember I had this crown that I'd carry. I remember I was really proud of it because I got it off the internet and it had jewels on it. And it was really bedazzled up, looked really fancy. And I'm in the back and I'm talking and Lawler's like, man, that crown's nice. Right. Where'd you get it at? I'm telling him. And I don't know that he's working me. Right. And, so I'm like, yeah, it's a really nice crown. Do you know what's wrong with it? And he's like, what? It's like, it doesn't fit on my head. And he's like, ah, all right. So guess what he says when we get into the ring? When we get into the ring that night, he goes, you know how you can tell a real king from a fake king? And of course, and then he waits and then he's like, a real king, the crown fits on their head. And he puts his crown on his head.
Oh, man. Dude.
My fucking crown, I try to put it on my head and it falls off. Man, the crowd just busts out laughing and everything.
Man.
That's good.
Dude, that's funny.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South. And I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, The Scorpion, The Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at stevebowtiebryant@icloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
So we had some questions come in for you, and I want to kind of lead up to this because both of you worked for Crossfire, both of you worked for TCW, and you know
Wolfie, old Marcus Pastor Puss.
That's right.
What we called him. Yeah. You remember that saying? That's what we all called him. Josephus' imitation of Doug Gilbert saying, Mark Fastus.
Sounds just like him.
Yeah.
I kind of messed up. But.
So, yeah, obviously you both work Crossfire and TCW. Now, we've covered it a lot with Wolfie D and stuff, but I guess, you know, like two very promising companies. Now, again, I think TCW probably in the long run had more possibilities as far as like a full-on professional wrestling company. But maybe do a little contrasting and comparing of Crossfire and TCW, if you don't mind.
Crossfire, I thought got some really good steam behind it being in the Nashville area. So I was always really fond of Crossfire versus TCW. And I know, TCW, cause it was so far away. Right. Yeah. And a lot of people, people don't understand that. Of course champion at TCW, but oh my God, those drives were awful. I mean, you're saying you're going to Nashville, and even if I'm in Nashville, it's going to take me to get to Little Rock or Clarksville or any place like that. Oh my God, it's like at least a 6-hour drive.
Yeah,
you know,
we did Shelbyville on a Thursday night, and me and Jeremiah Plunkett, I can't remember who the other people were, man, but these dudes couldn't handle it. They couldn't stay awake, and I was like, let me drive. I drove like 12 hours to Missouri from Shelbyville on a Thursday.
Oh, my God.
And then I pulled into the hotel, and they're like, what the fuck did you do that? Fuck Road Warrior, bro.
Yeah, I've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the production at Crossfire better than I like the production at TCW. Okay. Believe it or not.
Really?
When Marcus started getting those fancy lights and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Started using the lights. I remember at one time I came out and they were telling me that when I came out and did my pose, the lighting grid was going to come down from the ceiling and rotate and stuff like that. Like it used to do in WWF back in the '90s and stuff. So that was awesome.
Maybe that was after I lost the Loser Leaves Town match, because I don't know. They must have got better. Yeah,
now, the TCW deal, they had great production there, but I think what we're missing there was like, I know Wolfie, you got to be like a locker room leader, but we really had nobody to go to like an agent to run matches through or anything. Right. So that TCW, I can't tell you how many, when I'm working there, how long when people start talking about matches and setting up matches, oh my God, these guys would keep going all day long. And I'm like, I got to wrestle 3 matches, dude. Like, I can't remember this and that. Right. I personally liked the Crossfire better than the TCW. Now, if TCW would have been in Knoxville, Tennessee, I probably would have liked TCW better than Crossfire.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. So we do have a listener question here. So one of the listeners asked this when we announced that you were coming on the show. This is why I'm asking this, because we're talking about Crossfire. And it had a beautiful world title. Like, you could tell he spent money. Yeah. This is Pete Griffin, and he asks, what happened to the Crossfire world title? Because if he's not mistaken, he believes that you were the final champion.
I was the final champion, but I think, and this is, I could be wrong, but I think Cassidy Riley has that belt.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
I don't know why, but I think maybe Marcus owed Cassidy money or something to do with a ring, with the wrestling ring or something. He sold him the belt and the ring or something like that. I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's the last I heard about it.
Okay.
Do not doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. What a good guy Cassidy is, man.
So we're on he's a good dude. Crossfire and Marcus Pastrapus. What happened to that guy?
He was working with some concert venues and stuff. Mm-hmm. Still doing setup and breakdowns for musicians and stuff.
He has shady eyes, man. He's all right. He has shady eyes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sometimes tells you everything, right? Well,
it is. Yeah. I never forget. I can tell you this. I'll never forget this one night. Last night of Crossfire, I get done wrestling Carlito. I walk through the curtain. Photographer there is like, "Hey, do you want to meet Rowdy Roddy Piper?" And I'm like, "Yeah,
of course."
Takes me into the room. I meet Rowdy Roddy Piper. I get my picture made with him. I'm feeling like a fucking little kid, right? And then I walk out, and then I'm hanging out there waiting to be paid. And then they call me, Colt Cabana, and what was the girl? God, what was that girl? Maria. They call her into the call us into the this office room, and here's Marcus sitting, and so they got Mark Anthony is in there along with a got another guy with a gun, right?
Oh my God!
Oh, I think I remember this.
And pretty much telling us that they can't afford to pay us. So we didn't get paid, and I guess to keep things popping off, there's guns in there. So I'm like, okay, I'm perfectly happy. I'm okay. See you guys.
Where's the exit at sure. again?
Yeah, I do think I remember hearing stuff about that, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was now yeah, I'm not. I did get paid. I eventually did get paid, but. I think this was also after we got contracts. Do you remember getting that, Wolfie? Do you ever get that?
No, he didn't ever give me a contract. I was always on his, like with some of them, Bert too, all those guys around Nashville. I was just, they knew, like I wasn't their guy, but they would have me.
Well, they knew they couldn't bullshit you. You've been around for so long.
That too. And I could also put their boys over and make them look good.
Right.
So you actually, something really cool. You worked Wolfie at Saw some, but you actually got to tag with Wolfie D at the Brad Armstrong tribute show.
Yeah. And the fucking and the mayor of Knoxville tries to shoot on me in the ring.
That's what I was about to ask you. Yes.
The mayor of Knoxville, like he's not supposed to raise their hand. Not Brent, yeah, not current mayor, but another mayor. Really No. But anyways, this dude wouldn't raise our hands because we're winning or we won our match or some shit like that. I don't know what his problem was.
Wow.
It'd be hilarious if we would have kicked his ass. That would have been hilarious. We would have kicked the mayor's ass, right?
Fixed them potholes.
At the Brad Armstrong benefit.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. Yeah.
That'd have been very Armstrong.
Black mile driver and awesome.
Anyway, so how was it tagging with Wolfie D?
Oh, it's always good. We always have a good time. Yeah. I'll tell you this right now. I owe my WWE tryout to Wolfie D.
Wow.
Wolfie, I'll tell you. One night with Crossfire, and I'd never got promoted as well as Crossfire or TCW had promoted me, right? Mm-hmm. So when Crossfire started promoting me one night, Saul had a show, right? Right. But at the next night, we're going to be doing the show at the Nashville Fairgrounds. So I was going to make an appearance in Millersville, just to hopefully just to make it, get more people to come out to the Crossfire show. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk in, Doug Gilbert and Tommy Rich are in the ring wrestling, Hammerjack and somebody else. I forget. But anyways, the crowd quits talking, quits looking at the match and starts focusing on me. And I'm trying to get them to look back at the match. Right. So I'm like cheering, like, come on, Tommy Rich, kick his ass or something like that. I don't know, right. Before long, the crowd is chanting and for me to get in the ring, they invite me to get in the ring. I am higher than a giraffe, and I get in the ring, and then I can see Kroll on the other side of the wall, like, you know, like, what the fuck are you doing, kind of like thing. And I'm like, they invited me in the ring? I don't know. Anyways, the long story short, everybody thought I was like really fucked up at that show. So during Dutch Mantel ran a show, and I got to wrestle Wolfie D at it. And
yeah.
At the show, and he was in my hometown as well, so that helped. People knew who I was. That Dutch Mantel got me a tryout with WWE. And pretty much called me, told me how thankful he was for me doing his show and for his granddaughter, in honor of his granddaughter, and how great of a match, because literally the legends, the older wrestlers went on before me and Wolfie, and literally came back through the curtain. I remember Dr. Tom like laughing and like, "You guys follow that shit," or something like that. Right. And we did. And we did.
And we did have a great match, man. And that reminds me too, though, George South was on here. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if you were watching it with me, but how he milked that jacket. We talked about this when he came on.
Oh, yeah, taking his jacket off.
That jacket for 20 minutes, man. He milked his jacket, and they were all over it, dude.
Yeah.
Wolfie, I wish you could see how wrestling is in North Carolina. George South still does the same exact deal out here, right?
Yeah.
And then all the other wrestlers do 500 million flips. And I'm like, would you not just rather be the guy that takes forever to take his jacket off?
Right.
It hurts way less, and he makes way more money than you. You know?
So where are you living now, Shane?
I'm out in Huntersville, North Carolina now.
Dude, I'm in Mooresville, bro. That's a trip. Literally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We can be sitting beside each other right now. That's crazy, man. I'm in Huntersville all the time. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, man.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, actually, I moved out here with, I used to be married to Queen Taylor. And then I think if I was still married to Queen Taylor, I'd probably be paralyzed from wrestling right now. But anyways, I got a divorce from her. And then I love this area so much, I just stayed out here.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's your personal training here, man, I'm going to have to holler at you. So we'll talk.
Yeah, holler at me.
All right. Anyway, sorry, Wolfie. Are you back to the show? Jimmy? Yeah, I need to, brother. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Make my comeback, you know?
Exactly. I got one last match. I can have one last match.
I don't know about that, but, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of, when was your last match?
Man, I can't even think of it. I remember, I can't even think. Actually, I think I went and did an appearance in Gatlinburg, and I wrestled Kerry Morton, Ricky Morton's son, maybe like last year or something. I did that. Yeah. But then shortly after that, it was good. I had a good time. It was so funny. It's because when I first started wrestling, Ricky would come around and he'd bring Kerry with him. And Kerry would be on a skateboard riding around, right? And then come out with his dad, dressed up like his dad, and come out and stuff. And so it was cool to see that kind of like come full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to do that kind of deal. And now afterwards, like, I don't know, I like the mystery of wrestling. I like the making people believe. And now it just seems like all that's gone.
Yeah, it ain't worth trying. I mean, it is. I feel bad saying that because, like I said, I've worked paramedics, I've worked the boys, and I really think you can still do that. I really do. You can really do that. But like I said, it's just it's out there now. So
yeah, I mean, half nowadays.
You know who the worst wrestling fan is? You know who the worst wrestling fan is? Or not even fan. I don't want to say that. But you know those people that watch wrestling and go, they like laugh at everything instead of like whatever the other reaction we want. But yeah, God.
I think they all see this feel. Take one bump one time.
Yeah.
You know, if you one bump one time the wrong way, and then you'll understand.
Even the right way, they would learn. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's funny.
You're exactly right,
dude. So I think it's around 2017, 2018. You actually got to work Nick Aldis for the NWA title. Yep. That was pretty cool.
That was really good. I mean, I got really lucky where I've got to work Nick several times as well. So that was definitely pretty cool. I got to wrestle him in Winston-Salem and at that WrestleCade show. Okay. Out of that. So that was really good. I had a great time, but at the same time, like I don't think that match, definitely my head wasn't fully in it. I was kind of like almost kind of like ready to get out of it. I'd go to those WrestleCade, those wrestling events, and it always make me depressed as shit, right? You get to see all the old wrestlers and all the people you really like to see wrestle. Of course, they can't wrestle anymore.
Right.
And then you got to watch the guys that can wrestle, and you're like, shit, they're killing the business.
That's a Bill Dundee-ism right there.
And also,
yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But I don't know that it was, I like going to those, but that's a whole nother story with Jamie, but, it doesn't depress me. It just, I don't know. I love seeing the guys, man.
Well, I like seeing the guys. Don't get me wrong about that. I love seeing the guys. I just wish that, you know, my heroes didn't age.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You know, fucking makes me sad as shit when I see like one of my favorite wrestlers or something and they're having health problems or they just passed away and you're like, damn.
Yeah. For sure, man.
It's like that scene. We just had Andrew Anderson on last week and he was in The Wrestler. And it's like that scene where Mickey Rourke's at that VFW or whatever signing autographs and he sees the guy with the catheter pee bag or whatever. And it's sad, man. It is because, I mean, dude, those guys, I mean, growing up where we grew up and knowing the rest, those guys were our superheroes. And I know Wolfie feels the same way, but, you know, those guys were the superheroes to us, man. Mm-hmm. And,
I tell the story all the time about. Now, people here in North Carolina, I mean, the older people might be able to relate to it, but literally growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, you'd grow up and you'd watch cartoons in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And then at noon is when wrestling would come on. Wrestling would be Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's the first wrestling I would see. And then followed up by, then I have my WWF that I can watch. And then also on top of that, I have my Crockett wrestling I'm going to be able to watch.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Never going to be on
ESPN. Smoky Mountain's jingle at the beginning of the show is like, I swear to God, it's the best wrestling intro ever.
Don't change the channel, lines are flipping around. You're about to see the hottest show in town. The biggest stars and the biggest brawls. The biggest hits and the biggest falls. Non-stop action, no messing around. Pretty soon they're coming to your town. The way you like it, way it used to be.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling on TV. I feel like dancing right here. I mean, seriously, it's so different from any other opening for wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the CWA had that, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey, but it was like the Deodato disco remix of it. And then, you know, I always loved the Crockett.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Anyway,
I think that with wrestling, when I talk to Wolfie, I'd always think about like if I would have came up in wrestling when Wolfie was starting wrestling, because when you start out and all the things you got to do, right? And then getting going on TV, getting going with PG-13 and all that whole deal.
Yeah.
I mean, cusp, man. We were the lucky ones. We got in on that cusp right there that still kind of meant something, you know what I mean? And then,
Tracy Smothers would give me literally after he calmed down from our first match. The next time he'd see me, he'd talk to me, ask me how things are going, and he'd tell me to come over to his table, and then he would give me DVDs to go home and watch.
Nice.
One of them was with PG-13 against the Rock and Roll Express at the Louisville Gardens.
Mm.
Oh yeah,
that's one of the best. Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Incredible match. Absolutely. So, well, this question is always an obvious one, but it may not be as so obvious once we learn what it is. But what would you say, like, you know, you're talking about that's one of Wolfie's whenever I say, what's your match, Wolfie? And it's always, you know, one of those versus the Rock and Roll Express. But what would you say is your favorite or if somebody were to say, hey, this is Shane Williams and this was his match, what would you say that match is?
One that's actually filmed, probably a TCW. I remember I wrestled Chris Michaels at TCW one time, and I was like firing at that time on all cylinders. Like I remember I was wrestling like four days a week.
Yeah.
So when it came time to go to TCW, it was just like, easy, nothing, right? Let's go do this. If I can just survive this ride to the show, you know? And, but I remember wrestling Chris Michaels, and, I remember, Matt Riviera had hired this guy named Nelson. I forget how to say his last name, but he used to work for, do production for WWF or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I forget, I think it was like Spangler or something like that. I forget. Yeah, anyway, they gave us a, you know, it was supposed to be my first title defense, and we did this setup. But I remember me and Chris Michaels went out to the ring, and we wrestled for about 15 minutes. And the only thing we did was just call a finish, and the rest was just us lock up, wrestle. We get to the corner, I push him, he slapped me in the face. Right. And we just play around with stuff like that. And then he ends up like shoot me to the, I shoot him to the corner. He upends overs me. And then when I turn around, he hits him with a super kick, right? When he hits him with a super kick, it knocks me out of the ring and I'm dead. Right.
Yeah.
So he has to go there and try to pick me up off the ground and then roll me back in the ring to pin me. Right. But I'm lifeless. So it takes him forever to get me back in the ring. And by the time he rolls me up, I kick out. Right. And you could just feel it. Right. You can, you know, when you have the people and yeah, you got it, you know, and stuff like that, that match just felt amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Got to be the biggest crowd that you've ever worked in front of. It's just got to be the most enthusiastic crowd that, you know, you're like, you're dialing them in, you're orchestrating them, you know?
Yeah.
Right. You're telling the story, and they're just responding to the story that you're telling them.
They're sucking it up.
Let's put Chris over real quick, because, I mean, dude, Chris was one of our first guests. Wolfie has some incredible car crash stories with him and stuff. But, I mean, you know, Chase even said on his show about Chris was that he's tried to have a bad match with Chris and couldn't do it. Now, obviously, that's kidding, but still, I mean, Chris is just, I mean, he's otherworldly sometimes in his abilities. So,
yeah, he can work baby face or heel.
Yeah,
right, and then he'll put you over, no problem, and he sells like $1 million.
Yeah,
right? Those are always the people I always enjoyed working with. And then, you know, you always all have those guys that you work with that you throw a punch at, and you have to tell them, "Hey, remember, you got to sell the punch, Jesus," or you know, something.
Brother, me and Chris were working together at about 16, 17 years old.
Wow,
that's where I met Jamie in Hartsville, Tennessee, and Chris wrestled there, and. Yeah, he wore the Steiner outfit, you know, back then, the short-legged double strap gimmick, and he could do the Frankensteiner. And, you know, those could fucking do that on that show, I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Me and Chris did.
That's awesome. Dude, Chris to me is just, he's one of those guys that I just feel like, I mean, you too, Shane. And of course, you know, Wolfie had his taste of the big show, but I just feel like, you know, so there's certain guys that it's just a shame that, you know, something didn't pop off a little bit more for him. And I don't want to end this on a bad note, but what I mean is, like, do you ever feel like, I mean, not the accent thing, you talked about that, but do you ever feel like there were opportunities that you were just, like you said, you were firing on all cylinders at that one point. Right. Do you feel like there were opportunities there that maybe you just, it just didn't happen?
Yeah, unfortunately not. Like, I think if I would have been able to, you know, come up during the right time, or if I would have been able to go to an actual real wrestling school, then maybe. Because since I had, like, really no training, really people like are just vouching for me. They're like, okay, hey, he's a good worker.
You know? Right. Right.
There's nothing else out there. And it took me forever. I can't tell you how long it took me to get comfortable doing TV, because the fucking guys that trained me had never even done TV.
Yeah.
Right. They've just been doing the local outlaw shows and taking bumps and everything like that. That's it.
Yeah.
So when it came time to do TV and I had like times, or heaven forbid, I got to go out there and cut a promo, that took me a little bit, because I never had the training for that. So literally it was on the job.
First interview I ever did on Memphis TV. I think I can't remember. I think it was Dave. I had my back to the fucking hard cam. Memphis TV right there in front of the desk. I got my back to it the whole time, talking and pointing at the thing. Boy, I got cussed out. I got cussed out for that.
My first promo, Dr. Tom comes up to me and we're doing this. It's called NWA Rocky Top, right? Okay. We're shooting it in Knoxville and it was the first TV I ever done. The young guys, they're doing this. They're like making us the young guys instead of having a crew, like a, we had like the X Division title. Yeah. Kind of like how 15A was kind of like just starting out.
Yeah.
So we kind of like copied them, but all the young guys would have to fight for this title. And I remember Dr. Tom coming up to me and telling me after my match that I need to go and cut a promo and tell the people that not to forget about King Shane Williams. I'm also throwing my hat into that title match. Right.
Yeah.
I did the match and I was so blown up from doing the match that when I went to do the interview, I could barely talk. So it's like me huffing and puffing, me trying to get it out. And when I walk back, of course, Dr. Tom is like shaking his head and wanting to know if I can make it to the TV studio to reshoot that next week. I have time to do it there.
Oh, man.
So the longer I got and I stayed in wrestling, the more I'd realize that, you know, I wish I would have had like, I really wish that went back in the day when I got the opportunity to go to OVW that I just would have just packed up all my shit and moved there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wouldn't have the same stories that I have now, but there might have been more opportunity there.
Yeah. That was kind of a weird time. I mean, I knew a lot of guys that were going up to OVW and I would, you know, like Jeremiah Plunkett. I'm like, brother. What are you getting paid up there? And he's like, nothing. And then I hear this from Wolfie D too, where they're like basically starving him. I mean, I know, you know, you got paid something, but still you rode up on a Greyhound bus and stayed up there.
Yeah. And then they expect you drive up there or you ride up there on a Greyhound bus, you eat shitty food and then you take your shirt off, warm up and they expect you to look like $1 million. You know, you're like,
Hilarious, man. Jimmy, do you got any final closing arguments or anything? I know we're coming close to our time.
I'll say that my biggest problem right now is transitioning from wrestling to real civilian life and not letting King Shane come out. I can tell you that I got into tonight I was going to be making an appearance in Gatlinburg at a wrestling show tonight. I was supposed I was supposed to be at KFW Black Harvest tonight. I was going to do an appearance.
All right.
But last week I kind of sat down with my boss of my gym and started talking to him about how to make more money. Before long, he's cussing me and then here comes King Shane. So I start cussing him and then I take a potted plant and I take it over my head and I slam it down the ground and I bust it. Then I walk outside. I swear to God. I walk outside the door. My boss comes at me and as he's coming at me, I pick up this chair and launch it into the parking lot and tell him to get the fuck away from me.
Oh my God.
So I had to call the promoter and be like, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. I'm going to be like it.
Hey, what episode of the Cops is that going to be on?
Well, he did threaten to call the cops, but I told him, you're going to call the cops on my potted plant. I broke my potted plant.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good way.
Yeah, that's the way, man. I don't have anything better than that. So,
so I think in professional wrestling, when you decide to get out, there should be like some deals that they should teach you, like, or we should learn like how to readjust, almost kind of like when, you know, these guys from military come back in from fighting, you know, they have like this transition time, you know, that's what I needed.
It's therapy, man. I'm telling you, like, okay, so my everyday stressors today, I can't get in the ring tonight and take it out on somebody.
Exactly.
Contact. You need that as a dude, I think.
I know. I think so. I was waiting for this guy to come at me. I was like, please. please grab me.
So I mean, I just gotta ask,
are you want one of them lead feet you got though?
I know, exactly.
Are y'all cool now?
Hey man.
No, I had to go find me another job. That's the reason I couldn't come on, unfortunately, take this earlier with you, is because I had to go work. I got another job at this other gym. Gotcha. So I had to go over there today and get started over there so I can pay my fucking bills.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's hilarious. he's still the king.
King of fucking shit
thank
up.
Thank you for listening to this podcast today. We love you. Hey, Jimmy, when we hang up with Shane, what are we coming back with? But you know the answer.
You know, and they know, we got to ask Wolfie D anything. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
That was awesome, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fun, man. Yeah, man.
I really messing up shit.
Yeah. Dude.
Don't be a stranger, bro.
Yeah.
I won't. I'm around. You can call me anytime.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Y'all are neighbors, though. Hell,
I'm a trip, dude.
I'm in Kentucky.
Jimmy, let me know anytime you're in Huntersville.
I will, brother. I mean, I'm seriously there at Burkdale all the time. We go eat food there and all that. So
funny that you said Burkdale, because my gym was right above Burkdale that I got fired from.
Oh, dude.
It was like, do you remember where Galloway Hooker's at? You know what that is?
I sure do, yeah.
Okay, my gym was right across the street from Galloway Hooker.
Man, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Now I'm at this other gym called Elite Fitness now. So hopefully I bust any plants or throw any chairs there.
Yeah, maybe play it cool for just a little bit, King.
I'm going to play it really, really cool.
Thank you for coming on, bro. This has been awesome.
You're welcome, guys. Anytime you guys need somebody, please reach out to me, okay?
Will do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot of
love
fun.
Love you, Death, Shane. Take care of yourself, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Sounds right. Good, man.
See you.
See you, dude.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, and man, Shane Williams, he's cool as always, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. Funny guy, nice guy, always got along with him, man.
He's a heck of a bumping machine, too, man. I remember seeing him take great bumps.
He'll make you look good, man. He'll make you look good.
Yeah, he always had good gear. He always looked good, you know what I'm saying? Like, he looked professional. You know?
Absolutely.
That's always important, right? So.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. I swear, man. I don't really care how great your gear is sometimes, but there's a presence about you, man. You know, and there's some guys that can walk out there and whatever and make you go, he's got something about him. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But then there's also the guy that can wear the same exact outfit to walk out there and they go, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are those
I'm
guys
not even talking about, like body type or nothing? I'm just saying it's either there or it's not. So
I mean, yeah, exactly. So like, what are those guys? Do you all have a name for the guys that spend a ton of money on gear, but don't spend a ton of money on training? I mean, is there a,
I don't even know if it'd be the training. You know what I'm saying? It's just either there or it's not. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's hard for me to put into words, man.
Well, hey, this kind of leads me into this first question, and I think it's actually timely. So Matthew Stromberg, he actually emailed this to the liveandincolor.wolfied@gmail.com. Yeah, that was ridiculous. But anyway, who set that up? Oh, wait, it was me. Anyway, so the first question he asked, and this guy is actually somewhat funny because he's also from the East Tennessee area. And he says, so it's Matthew Stromberg in an email. He says, Wolfie, not sure if I'm emailing the correct address. I have a somewhat simple question. I am a local wrestler in the East Tennessee area. Okay. And my question is a little different. I understand that there's too easy of a way to make it in the business, and making it is different individually. Okay. So what's your best advice for making it in the business? Question mark. Then he says something after this, and I'll let you answer. He says, I currently ride the roads with someone I look up to, whom a decent amount of folks know in East Tennessee. I'm working out 5 times a week. I'm 29. Is there a legitimate route of making it in the business. I know this is off topic from what y'all usually talk about. I just want to pick Wolfie's brain or what he recommends I can do to go further in this business. Also, I'm 2 years in the business, so still green, but even if the response doesn't air, I'd still like to hear what you have to say, brother.
Wow, that's a very intuitive question there.
So 5 times a week he works out. He's 29.
He's working out, man.
Yeah, he's been in the year. He's 2 years. He's been in the business.
He's in the business working.
But he also understands he's still green, which is important. You know, a lot of guys 2 years in the business, they think they're ready for Madison Square Garden.
And that's odd for now, right?
Right,
you know, it is. Then, and you know, just because they get on TV, then all of a sudden know everything.
Exactly.
All right. So, yeah, my advice to any young guy in the business, from what I know now, I mean, it doesn't hurt to put your shit on social media. And I can't say that I wouldn't have. You know what I mean? Right. If I was alive at this time right now and I was 19 and, you know, kind of, you know, had that gimmick that hadn't been seen before, but I'd put it out there. I mean, look at the Michael Jackson guy.
Yeah.
One move, basically. Mm-hmm. A moonwalk DDT. And now he gets booked constantly.
Right. Right.
And that's not a knock. That I don't know what he works like. I ain't seen a whole match of him, but I know I saw that.
Yeah.
So put your shit out there, man. I think that's the key right now. I mean, put it out there, but also fucking listen, man, because people can help you.
Yeah. Know? Listen to the veterans and listen to as many veterans as possible. And
listen to the veterans that can, you know, adapt and change, but not go all the way one way with it. You know, don't
absolutely
it's there just for a paycheck and just, yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. And not call nobody out on nothing. Oh, that was terrible. What the fuck, man? You
know? Also watch your own stuff, right?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Watch your stuff.
The next question we've got is from listener Keenan Brown. I always message back and forth with me. He's a funny dude. He says, can we get some stories about your first match at the Mid-South Coliseum?
I am trying to remember my very first match. I can remember my first TV match, Bill Rush, I think, and TD Steele, maybe, were our opponents. But I cannot honestly remember who I worked the first time at the Coliseum. It was probably I would probably put my life on this. It's Danny Davis. I would almost be willing to bet, or you know, as a tag or something, either singles or a tag. Yeah. One of those two has to be.
Okay, let me see here. I'm gonna test that theory. So it does say this, yes. So on February 15th of 93. Now again, this may not be correct.
Oh. But are you not putting me over here? Because I knew.
Yeah, no, I'm putting you over. It's big. Yeah, because here's the deal. This is hilarious. It's PG-13 in a tag versus Danny Davis and a guy named Hurricane Huggins. So
Hurricane Huggins.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that was Eron.
That was Eron? That's hilarious.
I guarantee it. Because that was a rib. I told you that, man. I've told the listeners. That was a rib that Frank Morrell, Jeff Jarrett, and I don't know whoever it was them two for sure masterminding it. But they used to do it to me on the programs when I first started, and that would have been right there. I was Wooly B, I was Wolfie T, I was everything but Wolfie D on the programs. And Whoopi. I guarantee you people can Whoopi, all that. I guarantee there's people out there that have programs with that name on it, man. And it was, that's probably just them too.
That's crazy, man. So Hurricane Huggins, man. Yeah. I interviewed Eron and didn't bring up his name, Hurricane Huggins, man.
I guarantee it was him. I guarantee.
That's wild, dude. So, I mean, there, you know, later on, you definitely see how PG-13 worked Eron and Miss Texas and stuff, but that's hilarious. So he was probably under a hood, I would assume, right? Hurricane Huggins?
No, probably not. No.
Really?
He's probably just him. They just did that to ha 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 because, you know, you want to see the card. It gets posted up on the wall and has the underline overs and all that shit and times or whatever. And I guarantee you it's just for a pop. That's how bored they were.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
I guarantee you.
Okay. Bro, I believe you, man. I do. I mean, you were there. I believe you, you know. So anyway, I was probably picking my nose somewhere, not doing anything. So yeah, that's cool, man. That's awesome. So yeah, I'm going to find out from Eron later on about that. That's awesome. Okay, so Keenan asked another question. And again, Keenan, thank you for listening. As always, you always support the show. So definitely appreciate that. It says, first time you looked across the ring and was like, holy shit, that is blank. You're like, holy shit, that's Eron Hatchett. They're calling him Hurricane Huggins.
Yeah, I promise that's the truth.
I believe you, dude.
Let me think on this one. This is a really hard question, Keenan. Because, like, once I get out there, I'm not, like, when I look across the ring, it was just, okay, do my thing, and let's, you know, make this good or whatever. I mean, yes, but the baby beforehand, it's like, okay, this is the first time I'm working on Lawler, and yes, I was probably nervous or something like that, but I just, man, when you get out there and you're ready to do your thing, man, everything else just fades away. You're out there, you're doing your thing. You get into character and you're just doing your shit, man. And I can't say one person. It would be a dishonor to the other ones that I didn't say. You know what I mean?
Because I've been there
with some cool people, man.
You have
very cool, great wrestlers, man. And to say one that just starstruck me, no, not standing across the ring.
Okay.
You know?
Maybe. I mean, LOD.
Later on or something.
I mean,
but
it was such a weird mindset. Honestly,
I'm telling
right?
you, I'm walking around before I ever get in the ring with him. I'm walking around in Hawk's hotel room with him. You know, we're smizzing, and you know, he's looking in the mirror and pulling his shirt up, going, I gotta get lipo or some shit. I gotta get lipo.
Oh my god.
I'm like, fuck yeah, man. Get lucky. But no, it was just that was, you know, I'm hanging out with these dudes, man. And when I get in the ring, I just want to do what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That's the first time you've ever told that, too, by the way. So, I mean, but that goes to show, like you've said this many times, that sometimes wrestlers almost develop body image issues, you know?
Oh, big time.
And if you think about it, Hulk always kind of pulled the trunks up to hide the muffins.
Yep.
But, dude, that guy was in
impeccable
shape.
When I'm telling you that story, that's the kind of movement he was making in the mirror looking at himself. You know what I mean? He was making that movement. You know, everybody knows how Hulk pulled his pants up.
Right.
Shit, it's almost like fucking Mr. Furley.
Right. Right.
not Mr. Furley, but Don Knotts on what was his name?
Three's Company, or you're talking about Barney Fife?
Yeah. Yes, Barney Fife. Barney Fife.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, but no, I get that. Yeah, but I mean, you just think about it. Like, honestly, one of the best probably bodies ever is Hawk at one time. So to about even this monster of a man at one time had some body image things going on, man. That tells you something, dude. Yeah. And I mean, it just confirms a lot of the things you've said about wrestling and as being a wrestler, you know. So I get it, man. That's crazy, though. But I think I would probably guess it would be Lawler, because that would be like your first say, like, okay, that's holy shit. That's
I mean, I don't know, man. Honestly, because probably before I worked Lawler one on one, I probably worked a lot of other pretty cool people before that.
So yeah, Danny Davis, Hurricane Huggins.
Attacked me. Yeah. What was it?
Hurricane Huggins.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's Larry.
That is funny. Yeah. What a rib. Anyway, well, yeah, that is all I got for Ask Wolfie D Anything, brother. So.
All right. Well, we're going to take it to the house then. Yeah, thanks for having us again, and thanks for listening. We love you. Jimmy, send us off. You're going to do it today.
All right. I've been waiting for this job all my life. Thank you, Wolfie D. Hey, hey, for Wolfie D, for Jimmy Street, this has been the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. We'll see y'all next time.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, 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 it's the Heat Miser Scotty Blaze. Now I'm inviting all of y'all to join me on my brand new podcast, Turning Up the Heat with the Heat Miser Scotty Blaze. What are you waiting for? Come on over and join me. I'll be covering all the events of the day, global, national, pop culture, movies, gaming, whatever sounds interesting. But I'll also be playing some awesome skating shuffle music from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Anything that has a good beat, I'm going to be playing it. You can rest assured. Come on over, tuthradio.com. The podcast is on every major podcast platform. See you then.
That's right. It's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. Don't rush your mother. Utilize.
has a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the one and the three. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You sucker, step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome. You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.